It's just the Easter story is just not what was expected. You know, God comes and he turns everything on its head. In fact, I just remembered there's something in there that I need for it. Thank you. That's in a minute, you haven't seen that. Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. But he comes and he turns things on their head. The Jews were expecting a king. We got a king who comes riding on a donkey, a servant king. They expected a warrior to come with a sword. They got a saviour who went to the cross. And then the biggest thing that I've been reflecting on this year with Easter is the emptiness, the empty cross, the empty grave. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, there's not much hope when things are empty. If I go to my fridge and I open the door and there's nothing in there, there's not much hope of us getting a meal. If I go to my car and turn the ignition on and I see that the petrol tank is empty, there isn't much hope of me getting anywhere. If I go to the cash point and I put my bank card in and it tells me that my bank account is empty, there's not much hope of me getting any money out. But yet, in this empty tomb, there is so much hope. On the empty cross, there is so much hope. And that is the hope that we cling to.
Nope. One, two. Coming through? One, two, one. Can you hear me? Is it coming through? It's not you, all right? It's some poor old Jim. That's the trouble. Can you hear me, Jim? Great. Have you got your Bibles with you? You're not going to get it up on the screen. We've still got to work out what we're going to do for the last song. Do you? So I'm going to read from 1 Peter. And on a Wednesday night, what we've been trying to do is, it's called a Bible book club. And we've done one book, and then we were going to do our second book. But events have transpired against us, so we've been struggling a bit. But we were going to do 1 Peter. And it sort of fits in quite nicely with the hope that Gemma was talking about. So if you don't come on a Wednesday night, I'm going to share with you the thoughts of a Wednesday night. So let's read from 1 Peter first up. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. I was going to add twin in there as well, but I won't. We have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What a great passage, isn't it? Should we just stop there? That'd be great. Anything I'm going to say is going to take the shine off, I think. Anyway, so 1 Peter is often called the most hope-filled book of the New Testament. The theme that runs all the way through it is the theme of how to live with firm foundations in a hostile environment. The answer it gives is that the power of the gospel, new life and identity in Christ, is what provides the firmest of foundations that will help people to withstand great pressure. It also offers a vision of how to live in such a lifestyle that those around, while not ceasing their hostility, might get a vision of who God is. And it's amazing that things don't change, do they? Exactly the same as in the Bible times, exactly the same today. People experience the same issues, they have the same issues. So in those times, the epistle, if it's written by Peter, would have to be written before his death. So that was in the mid-60s AD. And some people say it might have been written a bit later in the 80s or 90s AD. The audience of the letter is clear. The recipients of the epistles are identified in 1:1, and it says the exiles are the dispersion into Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. So the dispersion is the name that's often used to describe the scattering of the Jews across the known world after the exile. But most scholars think that the recipients of this letter were Gentiles. In other words, Peter was comparing the experience of this audience of Christians to the experience of the Jews. We'll see that the Christians were struggling to survive in a hostile context, trying to live out their faith amongst those who despised them. The analogy then was designed to encourage them to persevere through hardship. So that's a bit of background. Thank you, the Bible Society. But the theme I want to spend a little bit of time talking about is hope. And not just any hope, but a living hope. A living hope of something better, the hope of a life with Christ, with an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and kept safe for us in heaven. And if we look at verse 1, Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Wow. There's four words in this passage that go a long way to explain the living hope that a Christian has. And these four words are mercy, a gift or a given, something given, birth and resurrection. So mercy. Do we need mercy? You ask most people in the street if they were sinners, and they wouldn't probably recognize that term. And I think the answer would be that they would say, well, we're not all bad. You ask them about original sin and a need for forgiveness, they'd probably look at you as though you had two heads. What does God say? In Romans 3:23, it says that all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And if in John 1:1, verse 8, tells us that if we think we have no sin, then we delude ourselves. But we can have this living hope because God is greatly merciful. Now, my favorite verse in Scripture, which is on that sheet, is Romans 5, verse 8. And it says that God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Peter urges us in Acts to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And again in 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. There is hope. That is why we have hope. If we talk about giving or a gift, you can't buy mercy, can you? You can't buy forgiveness, and you can't buy hope. It's a free gift. It's free. That concept of giving something for nothing for us cost Jesus a lot, but for us it's a free gift. Ephesians 2:8 says, it is by grace that you are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Somebody's done it for us. If you read the accounts in the Gospels about Jesus just prior to his death, you'll see it was a struggle for him. It was a struggle for Jesus, wasn't it? His time in the garden. He knew what was coming. And he had to prepare himself for it. But he went through with it, didn't he? And he did it because it was God's way of salvation. For all of us. He gave his life freely as a ransom for many. There is hope. Let me talk about birth. New birth. You can't buy this either, can you? You can't buy birth. But God has given us new birth. Not a physical birth, as Nicodemus was getting confused over, but it's a spiritual renewal where we've turned our backs on the old and turned our face to the new. And when we're baptized, we signify this, don't we? We signify that the death of the old, and then we rise a new creation in Christ. We turn our backs on the former self and we learn to walk with God. Our sins forgiven. And a living hope for a life with Christ. And then resurrection. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus because it's fundamental to our beliefs, isn't it? And crucial to our living hope. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read, and it makes it perfectly clear that if Christ is not risen, then it's a made-up story. We are liars, and our faith is in vain. More than that, we have no forgiveness, and those who have died as Christians are lost, and we're more to be pitied than all men, and we have no hope. But what does Paul say? He goes on to say, but Christ has risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Therein lies our joy, our praise, and our hope. Thank God. So how does hope express itself? Well, let's just look at the disciples. Immediately after Jesus was crucified, they were a bit of a sorry bunch, weren't they? Broken, disillusioned, despondent. But then in the story, we see them transformed, energized, re-energized, born again. After he had heard, after it appeared to them. And think about your own lives. Think about people you know whose lives have been transformed, turned around, renewed. You read about it all the time, don't you? About the transforming power of Jesus in people's lives. And our hope, the salvation of our souls, our inheritance in heaven, uncorruptible and shielded by God, and it will not perish, spoil, or fade. In verse 6, it says that we are asked to rejoice. We're asked to rejoice whilst suffering trials and grief for a short time. But through these trials, we test the faith resulting in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed. Now, I know many of you are facing uncertainty and difficulties. Does this verse give you strength? And what does it say about the faith, our faith? It says it's of greater value than gold. The things that people run after in life. But gold, even gold can perish. But what does he say about faith? It says faith that endures. For us, we haven't seen Jesus, have we? But we love him. We love Jesus even though we haven't seen him. We believe in him that he will do as he says. And because of him, we are filled with an inner joy. For we are receiving the goal of our faith. And that goal is the salvation of our souls. So rejoice. Rejoice. Because we have a living hope. Praise and thank Jesus because it is through his resurrection we can have this hope. Amen.